You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Review of Beauty and the Beast. Although I'd much rather, to be honest, if I was going to be anybody's guest, I'm still mad I didn't get into the Be Our Guest restaurant at Disney.
We were
on the list, goddammit.
I don't ever want to be the guest of these motherfuckers. They never let you eat. Fuck this.
Right.
I know. It's just like, stop with the fireworks, stop showing me magical centerpieces, and fucking give me something to eat.
But to be fair, they haven't eaten in like 7 years, so they forgot how it works.
There really is no food. It's just them dancing around. Yeah, please.
Even the food can talk.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus. Don't.
Yes, I want you to eat me.
Don't make me flashback to Sausage Party, please.
Sorry.
The horror.
The food wants you to eat it. Not
Hey, that's just as bad.
Actually, it would solve all our moral quandaries.
I would. I mean, Douglas Adams addressed it in the restaurant at the end of the universe with a cow that's been genetically designed to want to be eaten.
I'll just pop off to the kitchen and blow my head off.
Yes, exactly. All right, so this is not Douglas Adams' version of Beauty and the Beast. This is Bill Condon's version.
Bill Cosby?
Bill Condon. Oh. Condon.
No. It just put you to sleep, so you fall.
No.
Bill Condon's one of those directors who, like, definitely has had some real high points in his career, like Gods and Monsters, which is absolutely terrific, about the director James Whale, who made Bride of Frankenstein and Frankenstein, or Chicago, which I think still is maybe the
best
filmed
musical.
The
same guy who directed Chicago directed this piece of crap.
He did the screenplay.
The screenplay, and Dreamgirls is another one that he did. Another really great musical. He directed that one. And then he went on and directed the last two Twilight films. So, you know, that's a thing.
Well, he redeemed himself with Mr. Holmes, I think.
So
Mr.
he
Holmes
likes money.
Well,
something Twilight-y about this.
I would have directed a Twilight film if they brought enough money to my house. I would be like, sure, what do you want me to do? Just tell me what to do. I don't give a fuck. Can we just wrap this up so I can go spend my money?
Buy my house.
Now, this is like Disney continuing on with their, we're now going to do live-action adaptations of all our most popular animated films, some of which I felt make more sense to do. I mean, like, there's been a billion versions of Beauty and the Beast before the Disney animated version, anyway.
Jean Renoir. Which is superior, in my opinion, to
Le Cordon Bleu.
Or, as we say in France,
Is that the exact translation?
Which is, in my opinion, superior to the Disney animated version, which, in my opinion, is superior to this.
Okay, fair enough. But then there are ones that I still don't understand. Like, why are you guys making live-action Dumbo? What are you thinking?
What?
Yeah, I know.
Why?
Yeah, they're working on that.
Because
too.
We've got to figure out a way to make crows not racist.
I'm presuming they're just writing the crows out of it entirely.
No, they have to have the crows. They're going to make them more racist.
They're going to be even more.
Will Smith turned that movie down.
Well, there's always there was a lot of they were trying to do some reparation in this because of, like, you know, every fifth person in the ballroom scene is black, and it's like, well, that's really great, but maybe you should, I don't know, give them a supporting role.
I was almost like waiting for, like, you know, the white rights Twitters to start freaking out and go, no, because in that period of time there wouldn't have been black people in the aristocracy.
There would have been black people there.
Yeah.
But wait, the wardrobe and the maid, I mean, the feather duster was black, so.
Yeah, I mean.
And they spoke when they were not black people, but were objects.
They're still paid black actors.
One dresses people and one cleans.
I'm just kidding. Or am I?
I definitely do not want to go into this review with looking for some context of racism. Thank you much.
What's the plot of this movie?
It's Disney. They haven't been racist since Walt Disney died.
It's Beauty and the Beast. The 120.
It's a tale as old as
time. The herb time.
That's right.
Is that how they say it?
I was going to say tale as old as sandwiches, but that's a joke from a different Disney movie.
This tale may be older than sandwiches. Sandwiches aren't all that old.
That's
all things considered, you know.
Yeah. I'd rather read the Wikipedia page for sandwiches. Let's bring that up.
No, we're not going to talk about sandwiches anymore. Damn it! Now I want a sandwich.
Sandwiches are good.
I'm hungry. You guys are like talking about all the food in the movie, and now you're talking about sandwiches. And
Don't you have a candle that makes food or something?
I don't. No.
Dude, the candle singing to me about food.
That's like some weird like think geek in the era of Star Trek. Like, oh, I got a replicator shaped like the candle from Beauty and the Beast. Like, what? Okay, sure. No, I mean, that's Beauty and the Beast. Do you seriously, guys out there, not know what the story of Beauty and the Beast is? You have to, by now, be familiar with at least one iteration of the story, of which they're all relatively similar of the filmed versions that have come out.
It's all about a stuck-up woman who runs away from home and then catches Stockholm Syndrome.
Why is she stuck up? She's not stuck up.
No, she's stuck up because she doesn't like the dolts in her village.
Doesn't Emma Watson see that Luke Evans has something to offer?
She's just kind of like, you know, she's got her nose in a book, which she doesn't at any point in this movie. But in the original Disney movie, she's just got her nose in the book and her head in the clouds. And
she's stuck up like city folk who don't understand.
You just don't like that the pretty girl who read books didn't like you, Bo.
Yes, because you know how farm bound I am. Uh-huh. And don't like thinking.
I gotta admit, there was one point when she was like kind of singing up on a mountain. It's like, man, stupid country folk. And I'm like,
she ran
seriously?
Away to the Alps.
Yeah, I was like,
no Sound of Music.
You're not allowed to. That's where people sing in Europe.
Well,
you're not allowed to sing in most small villages until you go up on the giant hill overlooking
it. You'll be accused of witchcraft, as is shown in this film.
Emma Watson plays Belle in this case. I mean, she does talk. She sings about books. Like, there's a whole song about books in this thing. She's like walking. She goes to the guy's place. I need to borrow another book. I love books. They talk about it at length.
They talked about it.
But she isn't walking while actively smothering her face with
water. They also
say,
that's
not like, good enough.
There's a line in the song where it's like nose in a book. She's always got her nose in a book, and she doesn't. She's wandering around looking at nothing. She was okay.
She's living a lie.
Oh, shut up. She was so fucking bad in this. Okay,
I don't understand where you're getting this from.
All right, let me make a list. She cannot sing. She's
didn't have
okay.
any problem with her singing.
Okay, she's fine, but she also like didn't. She wasn't interacting with the things that were going around her. So she walks into the kitchen, and there's, like, this whole display of the Be Our Guest thing. And she's just kind of like, huh, yeah. Yeah, the dishes are spinning.
She's limited
and
in the smile department, I will say.
Yeah.
And she grew up in Hogwarts.
And I know, it was more amazing. There wasn't any wonder and, like, Belle's got a little bit of innocence to her. But she's still kind of like she knows everything from her books, but she doesn't know very much about the world outside. There was none of that. I didn't get any of that from Emma Watson's performance. She was so dull. There wasn't a sparkle in her eyes. I didn't believe that she loved the Beast. I believed that she enjoyed the Beast's company.
Who wouldn't? It's Dan Stevens, and we all like
Dan Cousin
Stevens.
Matthew. It was just.
It's lucky that that other girl didn't show up and touch him, because then that castle just would have blown up when she got his psychic powers.
Oh,
and
shit.
Oh, sorry, that's
spoilers.
Legion. Sorry,
David,
that's Legion. Sorry,
David.
Sorry.
David.
We won't talk about Legion.
Yeah, we'll
whole
talk about
story.
That.
Some other time.
Oh, can I watch The Beast in Legion?
Yes.
Is The Beast Legion?
The Beast is
that
Legion.
That would have been interesting if they had split personalities in this, or done any fucking thing differently than they had done in the animated.
But I went into this expecting that was exactly what
I did
too.
They didn't really want to make it its own
thing. I did too, but that adds to my, then why are we doing this exactly?
Yeah, I will.
Jungle Book, I kind of understood it, because it's like, all right, seeing those creatures in a live action perspective is actually lending me something. It's like, you know, so what are we going to see in our live action here? Well, we're going to see a castle, we're going to see a monster, and it's just like, none of this is outside of the purview of what I would expect from any Disney. You know, there's nothing really surprising here. And although there are some decent performances in this, I really didn't see anything that elevated it beyond what the animated thing was.
And there were a lot of extra songs that were just...
There were three.
Yeah, that's a lot. They were like, were those originally in the animated
movie?
I
think they were from the musical version.
Okay.
They were written by the same team that wrote the animated songs.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, unnecessary. I was bored.
I think they kind of moved or gave the characters more backstory for me. The Song of the Beast had Evermore.
Yeah.
I thought that one, I don't know, because I'm going through a breakup recently, and so maybe that one just hit a little bit close to home.
So, well, I just got broken up with on Saturday, yeah. So... No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
You don't know me, so that just sounds aggressive. No, I mean, okay, there were some good performances. I was not expecting much from... who's Gaston?
Luke Evans.
He was awesome.
He's got a great singing voice.
I thought he was the standout performance of this whole thing, which surprised me because Luke Evans I've always found to be kind of a workman-like actor. Like, you do your job well enough, but there's nothing really special about you.
I think he's about to break, I think this is going to help, and he's also in the upcoming adaptation of The Alienist.
Okay.
Which they better not fuck up. but yeah, I mean, they're definitely standouts. Josh Gad is great. Kevin Kline, God bless him. He's plugging away with the best.
Oh, underused!
Well, what are you going to do?
Let him sing.
I thought he was given more to do than
he's the Pirate King.
The script would call for.
Yeah.
Than the original would have.
Like they're going to invent a whole new subplot for him where he's kind of got the hots for this girl in the town, and so they do a whole thing in the background. No, thank God they didn't do that. Kevin Kline, no matter how much you give him to do, if it's a lot or a little, he's going to be great at it. Because he's Kevin Kline. He's a legend. You know, the only sad thing about Kevin Kline being in anything these days is that you realize how old he is. And you're like, fuck. Why isn't he younger so we could have him for longer?
He would have been a great Gaston, like, back 20 years ago.
Yeah, he was the Pirate King who was kind of Gaston-y.
Yeah.
And it is a wonderful thing that he was the Pirate King.
I felt bad for Josh Gad. He had such a one-note character. And it was just one joke throughout, and it was just...
But he executed it really well, I thought. And I thought his performance with Gaston in the big song and dance number with them, I really liked that number quite a bit.
I like that number, too.
I thought the choreography was really good in it. It's fun to watch. Huh?
You mean Gaston?
That's what I said.
The song Gaston.
Yeah, well, is it called Gaston? Okay.
All right. That's probably the best song from the whole musical. Mm-hmm. And as someone who has watched that movie like 150,000 times,
not biased or impartial, but
no, I'm not. I feel like that scene was weak. Like when you said that, like this guy directed Dreamgirls.
Uh-huh.
I felt like he didn't know how to direct a musical. Like, the camera didn't know where to go. There were close-ups where there didn't need to be close-ups.
I feel like you didn't watch this film. I don't understand what you're
like
talking about.
It didn't feel like a musical.
I mean, the points when they were doing musical stuff in here is when I was the most impressed with it. Ooh. Where I was like, man, I thought some of the musical sequences in here were just, for lack of a better word, stunning.
I'm not on Sarah's side on that one either. I think the opening sequences, you know, a lot of there was a lot of theatricality there. Obviously, it was kind of done from a stage perspective, but I think it was done well for the most part. Although I will say I wasn't as put off by Emma Watson's voice as Sarah was, but I wasn't as impressed as Chris was either. So I'm firmly in the middle, and I think sometimes they surrounded her with much better singers to make her, you know, to kind of flip her along. And, you know, I think that for me backfired a little. It made her appear weaker.
I mean, I will agree that I think the casting of Emma Watson here was probably the weakest decision they made. But I also don't think she was bad either. I thought she did just fine. But so many people are so much better than she is.
Chase and Belle are such... It's a case where the characters are going to be... Are outshining the actors, no matter who you put them in. No, who the casting decisions are.
No, Robbie Benson carried that motherfucker.
you see, I always forget it's Robbie Benson. Because I just think of the Beast. And I don't... You know, you can put anybody in these roles, and they're going to disappear because it's the characters of
it. It isn't it, but
I was confused when it wasn't Aleister Crowley. I was like, what was happening here?
Dan Stevens, like, there were some odd choices he made, but overall, I found him believable, and, you know, he didn't... you know, he didn't disappear in the Beast. For me, he inhabited him. And, you know, sometimes he got a little too Worfy, and sometimes he sometimes he got a little too. And I'm showing you on a tour of my castle, and I'm going to sound a bit like Richard Burton.
Man, I wish they had done it with practical makeup first off, which I'm still like baffled why they didn't. I was if for nothing else, because someone hand him a batleh during a blooper scene and be like, go ahead, do it.
I did think Emma Watson was kind of pale, and yeah, a lot of it was just her reactions to things, which were a little eh. And that didn't play off, and she's got to carry this. Before we're hitting the same note, but before this started, we were like, it would have been cool if somebody like Anna Kendrick, who is not a traditional beauty, who I totally would buy as the type of person we set Belle up to be, had been playing this, and she also would have, you know, hit the notes.
I agree. Yeah. Anna Kendrick would have been a better choice for this role, who also is a phenomenal singer. I said, I don't think Emma Watson was bad. She just wasn't as good as she should have been compared with the whole rest of the cast. Right. But they also, I mean, this was always the thing with this story anyway. Everyone else is so animated and exaggerated that, like, the Beast and Belle are the characters who are supposed to be the most down-to-earth ones. They don't get to have as much fun as everybody else does. They're the ones who are there to go, like, okay, we're kind of supposed to be the emotional center, and everybody else is kind of more of a cartoon, you know, surrounding them. Some of them, like, most of them literally a cartoon around them, even in this version where they're just CG creations voiced by big-name actors like Ewan McGregor and Stanley Tucci and Ian McKellen and Emma Thompson and Google. You know, I just like it's not the easiest role to play in the first place, of being the one you're supposed to be, like, she's supposed to be showing sort of this fear emotion and translating very slowly to grudging affection to eventually love. It's definitely one of the harder things to pull off when you're surrounded by singing and dancing and cartoons.
Oh, A for effort then, Chris?
I actually do give her an A for
effort. Okay, all right. Then she's supposed to be the audience avatar, at least. So she's supposed to be reacting and telling us how to react. And she wasn't doing it enough. Like, okay, don't give her as much singing lines, but give her the opportunity to look on in wonder. This is a big fucking castle. She lived this provincial life in a tiny little artist's studio. Okay, why did they make Maurice an artist and not an inventor? He's an inventor in the animated
movie.
He's
kind of both here.
Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he's literally, his art is inventing things here. He's making elaborate clockworks.
So bringing it back to Harry Potter, so these kids are like living in a wizarding world, but every time they come to Hogwarts, it's like, whoa, what's that? How are the stairs moving? It's like, you kids grew up in this world. Why are you reacting like that? It's because the kids are showing us how to react. And Emma Watson was telling me that a fountain in the middle of a dining room and, like, cakes and feathers and stuff is just eh.
I would have just passed out myself. I'd have been like, what is that? This is not real. I obviously am in a coma somewhere.
The only real reaction as far as that goes in the whole thing is Kevin Kline when the teacups are starting. He's like, uh-huh.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. And you know what? I think that her performance got better. So as she was, like, you know, more in love with the Beast or whatever, it was a little bit better than, I think, the first half of the movie. But, man, she is white toast. Just she needed to be there, but just so fucking bland.
It did occur to me at one point, because I hadn't looked at the whole cast list to know who all the voices were, mm-hmm. So I was kind of surprised to see who some of them were. And when it was revealed, like, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, who I think is gorgeous super talented, and she's a Plumette, I was like, I kind of would have liked to have seen this where she was Belle. I thought that would have been a fascinating choice for this. Who right now, she's got her career is hotter than Emma Watson's is right now. Mm-hmm. She's appearing in more stuff. It's kind of like, well, that was an odd choice, I guess, but whatever.
As big a name as Emma Watson.
But she's been appearing in more stuff lately.
Yeah.
She was in like 5 movies last year. It's crazy.
So good.
Miss Sloan, such a good movie. Very underrated.
Yes.
I mean, for me, the real star here was the musical numbers and the way Condon directed them, which I thought was great. I thought they were beautiful. I loved the callbacks to old Hollywood musicals that he was doing. I mean, there's a lot of visual stuff with that that wasn't in the animated version. And maybe part of this is that I've only seen the animated version twice. I think last time I watched it was like 3 years ago, and it's
that
great.
Can explain it.
But it was not. It's not one of my top five Disney animated films. I'm like, yeah, it's great. And anybody who's their favorite. Hey, more power to you. It's a really good one, and I can totally see that being a choice for that. But, like, I mean, I'm glad I didn't, because I was kind of able to watch this and not compare every frame and go, like, well, they did this differently there. I'm like, I just want to watch
But they didn't. I mean, I'll agree. Yes, when it comes to the musical numbers, they did do some different stuff. There, you know, this isn't a frame for frame by any stretch of the imagination, but it doesn't really offer anything else either.
Well, keep going into your final thoughts.
You know, I think that this is one of the things where the sum is lesser than its parts, because I feel that the story, which I love, you know, yes, there are some squicky things about it, but ultimately you get to this point of the Beast making a sacrifice and becoming a better person, and it's just like, hey, God bless us, that should happen to all of us. But
it's not going to happen to you,
though.
Like, give it up.
What was this movie was more given to the supporting characters, so you get, you know, these you know, unbelievable musical set pieces by the servants, if you will, and Gaston and you know, even the little bits with Kevin Kline were keeping me interested. And then when it comes to Belle and the Beast, not so much. They never really plummet for me. I don't get the depths of the emotion I want. And I think some of that is because of you're dealing with a lot of CGI as opposed to somebody's actual face, where they can register things. I thought some of the notes that worked in a 2D animated production don't play off as well as here, because it is real life. And like you said, you need to, these two characters need to anchor the actual emotion and the drama of this story. And I got lighthearted, I got musical, I got comedy, but I didn't get the drama. And in the end, that makes me go like, well, that was much more satisfying when I was watching that animated show, and I'm not getting that from the story wise. So, it's a well-decorated cake. It just doesn't taste all that good to me.
Cake that's not worth it.
So I'm going to have to give this, I'd say, 7 broken ceramic shards out of 10.
That's too high. Sorry.
Right?
I know, but I liked it more than you. See how that works.
Yeah, I was 9 when the original one came out, and I embraced it just like most kids did. And, you know, I thought it was fantastic, and I revisited it every few years. I didn't have that much expectations going into this. And like I said before, this is not a really... for me, it's not really a performance-driven film. I think you can take any two, like, pretty people and put them in these roles, or, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, really. But get the same effect, essentially.
not Uggos like Emma Watson, though.
But, I think the stars of the film, it's sort of the music. I think really this film, it's the production design, which I think was stunning. And just when the castle shrouded in darkness, it's a beautiful darkness. I just loved being in the world. And I didn't like the bookends in the village, and then when everybody comes back to life. I thought it was so, especially the ending, I thought it was very slapsticky, and it was very cheesy, and it could have worked better on the stage, but instead of watching it on the big screen. But the movie does have its pluses. You know, I like Kevin Kline. I loved Luke Evans. I liked some of the new songs. I thought Evermore was just beautiful. I think if there's one minus for me, it's got to be Emil Thompson's warbling of the title song, because Emma Thompson's a lot of things, but Angela Lansbury, she is not.
Oh.
Sorry, I just can't get past. I'm hearing that in my head right now. On that note, I will give this 5 Ewan McGregor's doing a French accent when it really sounds Spanish.
Yes.
Wow. Out of
yes.
10.
Sarah.
Tale as old as time. God, yeah. Okay.
She thinks that, like, everybody should sound like Dick Van Dyke.
That's right. There's a kitten paw on my shoulder. Like,
whatever, I loved it.
Yeah.
You're the only beast I'll love.
There was like that moment when the poor son came out like, oh, please be the Ariana Grande version, please. Just not Emma Thompson. I'll even take Ariana Grande.
Yeah, she would have been better in this. She can't really act, but she would have done a better job singing. Okay, so I'm going to say some positive things about this. I think some of the squicky things from the original story and from the animated movie were kind of toned down. I think the Beast wasn't as violent. I think he was just, like, kind of frustrated with himself. That's what I got, more than, like, frustrated with Belle or, like, threatening to, you know, kill his cutlery or something. So there was that. I think Luke Evans has a lovely singing voice, and he did guest on quite well. I would have liked to see a more Channing Tatum type character, because I don't think he had that charming cockiness. Like, I didn't really believe that the whole village loved him. I mean, they were saying it, but I wouldn't have loved him. But if it was Channing Tatum, I would have loved him.
I think we're getting to the meat.
I don't even know how to address that.
I think some of the singing performances were good. I normally don't like Ewan McGregor singing, but I enjoyed it, probably because my expectations were low. My expectations were low coming into this period, and they were pretty much met. I really wanted this to be good, but I also wanted it to be, like, below my expectations, which it wasn't. So it wasn't really even a hate watch. It was just kind of like a watch. And there were a couple kids sitting around me, and there was a girl who was probably 8 or 9 sitting next to me, like, old enough that she can pay attention to a movie, and she wasn't. And I know when I saw Beauty and the Beast when I was 6 in the theater, I was glued to that screen. I didn't move for that, you know, 84 minutes or however long it is. And every time I watched it on VHS, there was a cat growling behind me or snoring. every time I watched it on VHS, I was glued to the TV. I memorized it backwards and forwards. Is that going to happen with this movie? Probably not. It's not Frozen. It's not Moana. I haven't seen it, but I heard good things. It's just kind of a dull movie that's not well done. So I'm going to give it 3 rose petals out of 10.
It never fails to amuse me, which has happened thousands of times in my tens of thousands of times in my time of doing reviews of, like, you get two people who are both very intelligent, speak the language of film, like, very competently, who didn't watch the same movie at all. Because this movie swept me away. I was completely with it. I mean, I was like, I was with Corey. I was like tearing up at the end. I was like, I can't believe this.
Tear up at the end. In some ways,
I enjoyed watching this more than the animated version, but that probably has more to do with the fact that, like, I find it with live action characters, I always have a little bit of an easier time getting emotional connected than I do with animated characters. That's just for me. I connect a little bit more.
Well, you're
that.
A horrible person.
I know.
You have a soul.
That's.
I laughed at people crying at the end of Toy Story 3. I'm right with you.
No, I was one of those people crying at the end of Toy Story 3.
You too.
But all that being said, I mean, like, that is not a criticism towards the animated version, which is a perfect film. It really is. It's a great animated movie. But I think this is far and away the best of the live-action adaptations Disney's done yet of their animated films. I mean, I like The Jungle Book, but I wasn't as blown away as a lot of other people seem to be by the live-action version.
Leaps and bounds ahead.
How's this compared?
The Jungle Book was leaps and bounds ahead.
Oh, see, I just was like, okay, I mean, I get The Jungle Book did some really different stuff than the animated one did, which I'm like, okay, hats off, and I kind of wish this had maybe played with doing a little more of that. But at the same time, I'm not as hyper-familiar with the animated version of this, like I said, as you are, and a lot of people will be, so I guess that part of it, I didn't feel bored at all. I'm kind of like, this is the first time I've seen this story in several years, and I really, really enjoyed it. Even the performances that, you know, weren't as good as maybe they could have been were certainly more than good enough for the purposes of the film, as far as I was concerned. But the star of this film is the director, Bill Condon, who I thought just really nailed it with all the musical numbers, the way he set up the choreography for it, just the sense of motion that goes throughout all the scenes in this. Like, I love the scenes in the village when she's walking through and everybody's busy and the way everybody's moving around each other. I was like, wow, that probably was pretty hard to shoot, you know, like setting that up so the timing was just perfect with everything. And I really liked it a lot. I was surprised because I went in with really low expectations myself and came out like, wow, that was one of my favorite movies I've seen this year, of which it's been a pretty good year. I really loved this. Wow. I give it 8.5 out of 10 of sandwiches I'm going to have to eat now. Thank you very much, because I'm starving.
How does this compare to Cinderella?
I found Cinderella to be very banal.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought the Snow White movie was better.
Which one?
And that was not good.
The what? Snow White and the Huntsman?
Yeah.
That's not a Disney adaptation of the cartoon, though.
It's not?
No.
Oh. Well, I've only seen Snow White, the animated version, like once because it's, you know.
Yeah, Snow White is public domain.
Because it's old.
It is public domain.
Yeah, that's why we're now seeing so many, like, old things getting made and remade and remade and remade lately. Like, there's two different Robin Hood movies in production right now and a TV show.
Is Kevin Costner in any of them?
No, because nobody owns the rights to Robin Hood.
Also,
anybody can
no
do
one
it.
No one should ever do that again.
And there's a TV show of King Arthur coming out and a movie coming out because nobody owns the right
awful
to King Arthur.
They
both do look awful. Probably so. They need to sing more.
Just watch it.
Tale as old as time.
You know who they should cast as King Arthur?
Emma Thompson.
Like Emma Watson.
Yes!
Emma Watson would make
Emma
a good
Watson
King Arthur.
Would
she'd
be astounding.
Terrific. Don't you think? I just
she
did
can,
that.
She can pull the sword from the stone and go, eh.
You ever see an Emma Watson's eyes? Got doll.
Got dead eyes. Dolls.